Thanks for tuning in to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood. Since 2015, Dr. Youngblood has taken scores of questions and comments on the challenging issues of the day with a goal of motivating and informing listeners to examine the issues from a central biblicist worldview. Currently, this broadcast is heard on 3 regional stations in Florida and Georgia. Dr. Youngblood's expository preaching is heard on 2 stations in Ohio and Virginia, as well as Brunswick, Georgia, St. Augustine, and Jacksonville, Florida. There's now a great opportunity to expand this vital ministry to other cities, and we sincerely need your help to accomplish this mission. Your support in any amount is needed to take this next step in sharing God's truth in a relevant, lively, and timely way. Thanks for your willingness to support this broadcast as we prepare to face the issues on a broader scale. Please go to fcbcatjax.com and click the donation button, or send your best gift to First Conservative Baptist Church, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, 32258. Attention Radio.
Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood is brought to you by First Conservative Baptist Church. Now, let's get back to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood.
Ladies and gentlemen, we're covering an issue today that I believe is paramount for us to understand what is taking place. We're watching a global reset. We're watching the globalist with the one world order mindset that is in charge of basically all of the media, basically what is taking place in the House and the Senate today, and basically what we see taking place in America and around the globe. And I believe it's imperative that we understand some basic understanding of what is taking place. And the question is free speech now considered hate speech? That telephone number is 904-831-0917, 831-0917. Your telephone call goes directly through to the studios, right to our microphone, so that we can entertain your questions, comment, dialogue, and discussion. Ladies and gentlemen, if a physician cannot tell you the truth about a medication, if a physician cannot tell you not to take a vaccine because it will destroy your health and your future or your life in general, if a physician cannot do that, if he does not have free speech to dispense medical advice without the big brother, Uncle Sam, looking over his shoulder, telling him what he can and cannot do. That's what we've devolved to. It has destroyed the medical industry. It's destroyed the medical profession. It's destroyed the doctor-patient relationship. It's destroyed anything that will be called medical integrity. And as one physician said a little over a year ago, as I recall the article, he said that what we're watching is mass genocide being carried out by the medical and pharmaceutical professionals. Ladies and gentlemen, we're looking at today when if a Christian takes a stand, if we say this is taking place and it's destroying our freedom, if we say that we ought not to take the COVID vaccine, if we ask a question about COVID or the mask mandate or the mandate to take the jab, if we ask questions, say anything about it, it's considered hate speech rather than free speech. And the same is true, ladies and gentlemen, when a Christian stands for truth, when a Christian says that a sodomite lifestyle is unbiblical, when a Christian says that the LGBTQ sodomite agenda is unbiblical, when a Christian stands and says that abortion is murder, then, ladies and gentlemen, we find the Christian is the one that is being having reprisals against. We find that it's the Christian voice, the Christian ministry, the Christian organization, the religious organizations that face the, if you please, the are in the crosshairs facing the enemy because of standing for truth. I'm looking at an article that says, blood is on your hands. Christian nonprofit vandalized after the Club Q shooting. Dateline, November the 25th. The headquarters of Focus on the Family, a Christian parachurch organization, was vandalized Thursday following a mass shooting at a gay nightclub in Colorado. The phrase, there's blood, their blood is on your hands, end quote, and quote, five lives taken, end quote, appeared on a sign displaying the Focus on the Family logo in an apparent attempt to link the group for the shooting, which claimed the lives of 5 people and resulted in 25 injuries. Law enforcement officials have no information about the suspect in the act of vandalism, according to a report from the Colorado Springs Gazette. The article further reads, Focus on the Family exists to share the gospel with as many people as possible by nurturing and affirming the God-ordained institution of the family and proclaiming biblical truths worldwide. According to the organization's website, Club Q is an adult-oriented gay and lesbian nightclub hosting theme nights such as drag shows. Both organizations are located in Colorado Springs, Colorado. In the days after the shooting, members of the legacy media linked the carnage with conservative backlash against drag shows for children, which have occurred in a number of gay bars across the country over the past several months. The article further states, the vandalism of Focus on the Family, which opposes abortion, opposes same-sex marriage, and opposes the broader LGBTQ movement, occurs in the wake of several crisis pregnancy centers enduring a string of property crimes following the Supreme Court's decision to overturn Roe v. Wade. While some of the nonprofits were spray-painted with slogans such as bans off our bodies and if abortion isn't safe, neither are you, others were set ablaze. The Department of Justice has received criticism, listen to this, received criticism for failing to prosecute the crimes, even as they charge pro-life activists with federal crimes. The agency recently arrested Roman Catholic activist Mark Hulk, who allegedly pushed an abortion clinic escort while protecting his 12-year-old son in an incident that was dismissed last year by federal court in Philadelphia. Ladies and gentlemen, the bottom line, the point is that here's Focus on the Family that's being blamed for the Sodomite Club shooting. As Christians, if we voice our biblical position, if we voice the Word of God, if we stand for truth, if we stand for what we believe to be righteous honor before God, then we're blamed for those atrocities that take place. Ladies and gentlemen, it just comes to the forefront that what you find in Proverbs 14:34, righteousness exalteth a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. Ladies and gentlemen, the lifestyle called the LGBTQ lifestyle is the Sodomite lifestyle. God condemned it. God destroyed two cities, Sodom and Gomorrah, as a result of it, according to Genesis chapter 19, verse 24, 25, and 26. God hates sin. And ladies and gentlemen, my free speech allows me to say that. And there are those today that say that if I say that, if you say that, if the Christians, if the conservatives, if the patriots take a stand and say sin is sin, then somehow, some way, we're the ones that have hate speech. We're the one that is speaking perversity. We're the ones that are wrong in what we're saying. Ladies and gentlemen, I believe it's time as Christians we stand up, speak up, be heard, and be seen. I believe it's time we recognize the rapid dissipation, the soon evisceration of anything that we call our Bill of Rights today. I believe that we need to stand for truth. We need to stand and speak up in love. But at the same time, I believe it starts, as Pastor Davis said a moment ago, it starts in the pulpits. We as Christians, as pastors, as spiritual leaders, there needs to be a willingness to stand and speak the truth of the entire Word of God. And God's Word identifies it. I didn't. God's Word, for example, calls it holy matrimony. It is God that ordained marriage. It's God that set up the idea of marriage. And yet we find those today that are arguing and debating what marriage is about. We'll talk about that in a few moments. We'll talk about the so-called marriage law that is now being sponsored, already passed in the House, now being debated in the Senate. But I'm looking at an article that says, Christian ministry forced to hire non-Christians. Ladies and gentlemen, listen very carefully. We now have the answer, this article says. A longtime Christian ministry in Wyoming that the government has ordered to hire non-Christians for positions teaching the Christian faith has won a court battle over its employment requirements. The article further states, according to the officials with the Alliance Defending Freedom, the Wyoming Rescue Mission last year served nearly 61,000 free meals to the public, provided 41,000 free beds for men, women, and children, enrolled 92 discipleship recovery programs, program participants, handed out 1,200 thrift store vouchers worth over $40,000. But government bureaucrats claim that the mission likely violated the Wyoming Fair Employment Practices of 1965 and the Title VII of the Civil Rights Act of 1964 for refusing to hire an applicant who openly rejected the Christian ideal. The mission had made that decision because the open position, a thrift store associate, is a role that is expected to teach and preach the mission's discipleship recovery program, guest how to spread the gospel and to model Christ and disciple others. The mission endured, listen to this, the mission endured 16 months of investigation after the failed applicant filed a complaint alleging discrimination. A lawsuit then followed to protect the mission's religious rights, and a settlement has now been reached. The state officials acknowledge that the rescue mission, a religious organization, is free to hire like-minded employees who share the ministry's religious beliefs and missions to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ through its homeless shelters, its clothing voucher services, and the faith-based recovery program and the life rebuilding assistance to the residents of their city. The First Amendment, the freedom of speech, protects the Wyoming Rescue Mission's freedom to hire those who share their belief without being threatened and without being investigated and badgered by the government. Ladies and gentlemen, we may not recognize it. We may not understand it. We may not be able to grasp the full thought of what we have in our Bill of Rights that our founding fathers gave us in our founding documents. And that first one in our Bill of Rights, that First Amendment, ladies and gentlemen, Congress shall make no laws respecting an establishment of religion or prohibiting the free exercise thereof or abridging the freedom of speech. And I could go on, but ladies and gentlemen, that's what we have. And that's what we need to depend upon. And we need to understand that God gave us that freedom. It was codified in the Bill of Rights. But ladies and gentlemen, we're watching today the evisceration of our freedom. We're watching the evisceration of our free speech and our stand for our Bill of Rights. Ladies and gentlemen, today, the Christian conservatives are blamed for everything, even the Sodomite Club's shooting, as I said a moment ago, in Colorado, now blaming the Christians. Ladies and gentlemen, under the Biden administration, Christian ministries are persecuted and prosecuted even now as the Senate votes on a new bill. It's called the Respect of Marriage Act. And if this bill passes, ladies and gentlemen, it will trample the constitutional rights of the Christian in America with the free speech. It is the Senate Bill 4556, the House Resolution 8404, that is being debated to be pushed today. Looking at an article that says Representative Roy of Monday's marriage vote, Representative Roy, that is Senator Roy, Representative Congressman Roy, on Monday's marriage vote, that's today, guiltless politicians need to stand up. This article says before Congress recessed for Thanksgiving, both sides knew they'd be returning to a trickle time bomb, a ticking time bomb, that is. Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer, Democrat of New York, has already circled November the 28th for the next make-or-break vote on the party's same-sex marriage bill, sending conservatives into a mad scramble to change the minds of dozens of Republicans. Representative Chip Roy, Republican of Texas, a House stalwart who spent even every waking moment trying to stop the nightmare, laid the blame for the mess squarely at the feet of cowardly Republicans. First of all, he told Washington Watch guest host Joseph Beckham, B-A-C-K-H-O-L-M, "I want to start with the truth, the fundamental truth, that marriage is between one man and one woman. The fact that you've got a bunch of guiltless, or gutless, that is, politicians running around saying, well, we don't want to talk about that because, you know, certain things are changing. Hold on. Truth is truth. It doesn't matter what Congress does. It doesn't really matter what the courts do. Truth remains truth," end quote. But ladies and gentlemen, that's going to be voted on today. We have already gotten 12 of the gutless, spineless rhinos in the Senate that has voted for it. But ladies and gentlemen, perhaps you ask the question, what would this bill do? This bill, let me just read you a little preamble to that by Matt Staver of Liberty Council. He says 2 weeks ago, 12 Republicans joined 50 Democrats to move H.R. 8404 forward on a thin promise that a religious accommodation amendment might be added to the bill. But the amendment is so weak that even the radical LGBT group Human Rights Campaign isn't opposing it at all. Neither you, your business, your pastor, your church, nor anyone that's a Christian will be safe if H.R. 8404 respecting truth about God's design for marriage and about the gender is passed. H.R. 8404 forces every state, hear me, forces every state to honor and obey any definition of marriage that any other state may dream up. First of all, 8404 will federalize same-sex marriage and establish a public policy that gender is irrelevant and thus empower the transgender movement to crush the Christian. Second, H.R. 8404 goes far beyond same-sex marriage because it empowers one state to set national marriage policies, including pedophilia, child bride, marriages, incestuous marriages, and more. Even the bill co-sponsors admit so-called drafting error opens the door for polygamy, but the Senate has not fixed the so-called drafting error. Number four, while a religious freedom amendment has been proposed, it is so weak, so watered down, that even the Human Rights Campaign pro-trans child mutilation group supports the measure. This article states from Matt Staver, contact as many senators today as you can and ask them, speak to them, ask them, insist that they stop H.R. 8404. In the Senate. Ladies and gentlemen, there's a need today for Christians to speak up. There's a need today to stand up. There's a need today to let others know that we will not sit in silence while these things are taking place. Here's an article from Women for America, Legislative Action Commission. This week, the Senate will vote on Senate 4556, the so-called Respect for Marriage Act, more like the Disrespect for Marriage Act than anything else. Senators have unfortunately voted to move the bill toward final passage along with the weak, if not impotent, religious liberty protections it so-called has. Disappointingly, 12 senators typically known for supporting religious liberty, voted to advance the bill forward. The Disrespect for Marriage Act would require federal recognition of one state's definition of marriage without any parameters whatsoever. Even beyond anything that is recognized right now, plural marriages, open marriages, or even marriages involving minors and with adults. Anything goes according to the bill. Senators should stand strongly against their continued denigration of women, mothers and fathers, and the institution of marriage. Ladies and gentlemen, God ordained marriage, not government. It's God's law that we need to honor and respect, not the marriage law that they're proposing now called Respect for Marriage. It is actually Disrespect for Marriage if anything could be considered from it. I'm looking at another article. It says the so-called Respect for Marriage Act disrespects all marriage in reality and the citizens who embrace it. Ryan T. Anderson, Ph.D., president of the Ethics and Public Policy Center, issued the following statement. Marriage is the union of husband and wife. It's bad enough that five members of the Supreme Court wrongly claim that the U.S. Constitution requires a new definition of marriage, but if the Senate votes to codify this redefinition of marriage, all it will do is add fuel to the fire of those harassing and penalizing Christians and other citizens and organizations that hold the truth about marriage. The Senate bill pays lip service to religious liberty and conscious rights, but it does not offer any meaningful protection for our Christian rights. Had the Senate sponsors wanted to do so, they could have explicitly stated that no individual or organization could be penalized by the government for operating according to the convictions, biblical convictions, that marriage unites husband and wife, particularly that the IRS may not strip any such organization of its nonprofit status. Here's the point. This writer says the bill offers no such protection. It's not a compromise, not even a bad compromise. It enshrines a false definition of marriage in our law and then tells people that they can have their day in court if they want to do so or if they get sued. That's not public policy for the common good of humanity in America. Tony Perkins says this about this Respect for Marriage Act. The growing threat to the religious liberty is reaching unprecedented levels in our nation. Every day, there are more stories of Americans being unlawfully punished by various government agencies for expressing and verbalizing their religious beliefs. Ladies and gentlemen, that's called free speech in the public square. Today, the U.S. Senate will be voting on Respect for Marriage Act, a bill that goes much further than simply affirming the status quo. It would also imperil the religious freedom of every Christian and those of faith across America, tactfully vilifying millions of Americans who still believe in natural marriage, threatening faith-based nonprofit tax-exempt status, and subjecting business owners to costly litigation. This bill, Tony Perkins says, if this bill becomes law, it will supercharge already existing attacks on religious liberties, and Christians that it supposedly will not affect but will. No matter the outcome, you can count on it. The religious liberties that we have today and we stand for biblical truth, and it will ensure this bill, if passed, will ensure that no Christian pastor, no ministry stands alone if or when religious freedom is threatened. Ladies and gentlemen, it will be a law, it will be a bill that will further eviscerate, dissipate, destroy our beliefs, Christian beliefs. Here's an article that perhaps says it better. The Respect for Marriage Act should be called Respect for Gay Marriage Act. Does the Respect for Marriage defend marriage, or is it an attempt to change marriage? Does Congress have the constitutional authority to define marriage? And the answer is no. What can we, the people, and the states do in the face of this legislation? There's legislation working its way through Congress called the Respect for Marriage Act. Does this act really respect marriage? The answer is no. Does Congress even have the legal authority to pass such legislation? My answer to that is no, not based on the Constitution. The Respect for Marriage Act was introduced by the House of Representatives. Listen to this. It was introduced by Representative Jerry Nadler, July the 18th, 2022. Ladies and gentlemen, perhaps you recall, perhaps you may have forgotten, that it was Jerry Nadler, when they were talking about another such bill, one very similar to this, it was House Bill 5, when they were discussing that on the floor, one of the representatives stood and read a passage from the Bible, you know, the Holy Book, God's Book, the Truth Book, read a passage from the Bible. It was Jerry Nadler that screamed from his desk there in the House. He screamed out, "God's word has no place in the halls of Congress." Yes, that's the very man that introduced this legislation into the House. That's the man that introduced the legislation that has passed the House. It is now being debated in the Senate. And there are several of the senators, some 12 of them, that have loosely said yes because they did not want to argue or to debate the merits of the bill and what it would do. I'm looking at an article that lists those Republican senators who voted in favor of advancing the Respect for Marriage Act. Mitt Romney, Joni Ernst, Cynthia Lummis, Roy Blunt, Shelley Moore, Lisa Murkowski, Rob Portman, Dan Sullivan, Tom Tillis, Todd Young, and Susan Collins. Ladies and gentlemen, those are rhinos. Those are people that are dangerous representing the United States of America and we the people. This article says Romney's vote in favor of advancing the bill came hours after the Mormon Church, of which he is a member, announced its support for the Defense of Marriage Act, or as it is called now, the Marriage Protection Act. Quote, this is what the Mormon Church says. "We believe this approach is a way forward," the Mormon Church has stated. "As we work together to preserve the principles and practices of religious freedom, together with the rights of the LGBTQ agenda individuals, much can be accomplished to heal relationships and to foster greater understanding," end quote. Ladies and gentlemen, we have today every mainline denomination in America, including the Christian cults, as the Mormon Church, that's embracing the sodomite lifestyle, embracing this new law that is called the Respect for Marriage, that respects only the sodomite marriage, respects only the LGBTQ agenda, respects only those that are outside of the realm of holy matrimony based on the Word of God. Ladies and gentlemen, I believe it's time, as Christians, we understand the danger that we're in. We're watching our freedoms absolutely being eviscerated. We're watching the freedom of speech being foreclosed. And ladies and gentlemen, I could go for the balance of the day talking about the different issues that effectuate a major, major change and indelibly eviscerate, modify, nullify our Bill of Rights, especially our freedom of speech and the religious liberties. Ladies and gentlemen, we're watching the setting the stage for the persecution and the prosecution of Christians as never in the history of our great nation. We're watching the stage being set for the rapture of the church, for the sudden seizure, the snatching out of the bride of Christ. We're watching the day when the church is raptured out. The Antichrist, the man of sin, the lawless one, steps on the scene and rules the world with an iron fist. It's a fulfillment. It is watching the coming together of the ultimate fulfillment of Revelation chapter 13, when, ladies and gentlemen, there won't be any buying, selling, trading. You cannot, won't be able to go to the doctor. You will not be able to get on a plane, not be able to travel, not be able to buy, sell, or trade unless you have the mark. Ladies and gentlemen, that mark is being instituted today in America. Let me say this as kind of a parenthetical footnote on the totality of what we said today when we talk about his free speech, now hate speech. Ladies and gentlemen, under executive order, America's on the fast track to set up a digital currency that will come into play. The goal is for July of 2023 for the digital currency to go into effect. Right at this very moment, New York State has already put into play their 90-day trial of that. I'm looking at the headline. New York Feds announced test of the digital dollar with major banks. The Federal Reserve Bank of New York and major banks will launch a three-month test of the digital dollar in hopes of studying its feasibility. The initiative was announced by the regional Federal Reserve Bank and nearly a dozen financial institutions last Tuesday. A news release referred to the experiment as the proof of concept project, in which the banks will work with the Fed's new New York Innovation Center to simulate digital money representing the deposits of their own customers. Ladies and gentlemen, when that goes into effect, and it's not a matter of if, it's when that goes into effect, we will mirror, hear me, we will mirror the destruction of the Bill of Rights as has happened in China today. China has no Bill of Rights. China has no constitution as we have. But China today will follow, will trace, will track, will persecute and prosecute everybody does not fall into line with how they spend their money, where they invest their money, what they spend their money on. And as a result of that, ladies and gentlemen, we will watch the evisceration, the total destruction of our freedoms and our freedom of speech. Thank you for joining us today. Looking forward to meeting you next time on the air as once again we face the issues.
And president of Conservative Theological University, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, located 1 mile south of I-295. FCBC invites you to tune in nightly, 9 to 10, for expository preaching on 91.3, 91.7, and 91.9 FM. You're invited to worship with them. A reminder, CTU is now enrolling students for next semester. Ask about first semester scholarships. Call 1-800-GO-BIBLE.